The song service has encouraged us to have the proper frame of mind, peace that we feel, and happiness that we enjoy. I'm reminded of what William James wrote. He was one of the great thinkers of American history. He said, "The greatest discovery of my generation is that a human being can alter his life by altering his attitude." And he made great insights into human nature as a psychologist and a thinker in our history. We can alter our life by altering our attitudes. That certainly is a biblical teaching, as the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4 encouraged attitudes of thinking about things that are beautiful and things that are lovely, things that have good report. He said, and what you need to do is think about these things. And that certainly is our instruction for today. This week I've been thinking about the opposite, and that is the thoughts that are toxic to us, that I see so many times as part of people's lives. We sometimes say, I am my world's worst enemy, and indeed that is often true. It certainly is true in health, because most of our difficulties in health are attributed to our either failure to practice good health or to habits that are deleterious to good health. That certainly is true spiritually, as each one of us is responsible for spiritual growth in Christ. And it is certainly true in our emotions. And I want to talk about some of our emotions today that are most toxic to us. The first one that I wanted to talk about is the closed mind. And the reason why I have chosen that one first is because a closed mind is often characteristic of people who are getting older. And so I have experienced that to some degree and understand it better than perhaps some other attitudes. Those of us who are older sometimes recognize, at least we should recognize, that we get set in our ways. That's one way we express it, isn't it? I'm set in my ways. And we close our minds to changes, and change often bothers us. I know in my own profession, every time that a district clerk gets elected in Harris County, they change the procedures. It's very irritating, to say the least, to those of us who are used to something and have adapted to it, and then somebody changes it. Change is often a threatening experience for us. And so as you get older, you get a closed mind. What is a closed mind except a prejudiced mind? Look at the word prejudice, prejudge. The reason why we prejudge is because we have already closed our mind. And prejudice often becomes a part of our personality because we have allowed our minds to be closed to new truth. And this is why a Christian reads widely and thinks broadly, is because he's always open to consider truth that is presented to him. We read a story of the beginning of the church at Thessalonica and the story beginning of the church at Berea in the book of Acts. And one illustrates a closed mind and the other illustrates the open mind. At Thessalonica, the Apostle Paul founded a Jewish synagogue. He preached there for three Sabbaths. Many of the Jews in the synagogue believed Paul. Many of them did not. Finally, those who did not believe, whose mind was closed to the idea that Jesus was the Christ, gathered together some men of bad character and they formed a mob and decided to stone the Apostle Paul and his company, and they drove them out of town. You see, the closed mind led them to do something that otherwise, as good people, they probably would never think about doing. When they came to Berea, which is the next town that the Apostle Paul and his followers went to, they had an entirely different reception. The Bible famously says about the church at Berea that daily they studied the scriptures to see if what Paul was teaching was true. In other words, they were open to investigation and their mind was not closed. If somebody has a closed mind to a subject, you might as well not keep talking about it, because if it's closed, then they have already judged their opinion, and nothing you can do seems to change. While we understand the closed mind attitude, and while it makes us feel comfortable at times, it is also a very dangerous emotional state to be in, because if you're closed to new understandings, then you may miss what is important for you to know. The second toxic attitude that I have been thinking about is pride. As Americans, we are proud of our history and proud of our accomplishments, proud of our inventions, and proud of everything that is associated with America. But the danger is that we may consider ourselves better than other people, or we may regard other races as inferior and have a closed mind to that because of our pride. Pride is very toxic in all personal relations. Roger Miller, in one of his songs, had this line. He said, "Pride is the chief cause in the decline in the number of husbands and wives." And that probably is a reflection of what he observed in the entertainment world with its frequent and hasty divorces. He says, "Pride is the chief cause in the decline in the number of husbands and wives." The attitude of pride is offensive in Scripture, especially when it infects religious people. Often religious people do not recognize the attitude in themselves, and that's why we must always be careful. Jesus confronted the pride in his contemporaries and their attitude of spiritual superiority. He told a story about this attitude that I remind you of. He said, "To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this story. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed aloud about himself. 'God, I thank you that I am not like other men. They're robbers and evildoers and adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all that I get.' But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, 'God, have mercy on me, a sinner.' I tell you," Jesus said, "that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humiliated, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." The Apostle Peter put it this way: clothe yourselves with humility. It's like you and I chose what we would wear today to church, so we can think of ourselves as choosing to have an attitude of humility and clothing ourselves with that. Pride is a toxic attitude. We must guard against it and remember the proverb, pride goes before a fall. The third toxic attitude that I have thought about this week that I see so often at work in people is jealousy. Jealousy is one of the most destructive attitudes that can infect a person because it destroys the person who is so infected, and it often does much damage to the person who is the object of that jealousy. There is a remarkable rise in the number of family assaults in our society. I doubt if a week goes by that I'm not called upon to represent two or three people who are accused of committing family assaults. Usually they follow a pattern that is predictable. In fact, I think I can almost tell you what an offense report would say before I read it in these cases. This is especially true in our modern times where we have so many instruments that can be used to trace and follow somebody. It's almost, if somebody wants to find you, it's almost impossible for you to hide out. Many times in these cases, a GPS is somehow infected in the phone of the other person so that they are traceable. And then jealousy takes over and imagination takes over and confrontation takes over and then physical violence. I don't understand physical violence of a man hitting a woman. I don't understand that. And I remember vividly as a boy when I learned that lesson. My sister Lucretia and I were roughhousing in my grandmother's yard, and the roughhousing soon became a little more roughhousing, and it was about to get out of control, and my Uncle Wesley pulled me aside and pulled us apart, and he told me very sternly, "Boys don't hit girls." I've never forgotten that. Boys don't hit girls. And when I see these men who are oftentimes hit women and vice versa, I think, why didn't they learn that lesson when they were very young? Boys don't hit girls. Yet jealousy is the cause of most of those incidences. The Apostle Paul places the attitude of jealousy in the same class as sins of sexual immorality and debauchery. I'm reading from Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I tell you, and I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. I doubt that we consider the attitude of jealousy as bad as it really is. Sometimes people mistakenly think of jealousy as an expression of real love. I feel this way because I'm so in love with you, and the other person accepts that rationale for the jealousy. But jealousy is very difficult for Christians to deal with. A few years ago, there was a famous aggravated assault case that was about to go to trial. It involved, of all people, a woman who had been part of the NASIS program. She had been on Discovery, and she was in love with another astronaut who unfortunately also loved a naval officer, female naval officer in Florida. And this astronaut female went to elaborate lengths to go all the way to Florida and persuade her love to come back to her by beating up and seriously maiming the other lady. I remember that because I you know, you and I usually think of jealousy and spousal abuse and things like that as belonging to people who aren't very smart. We're just lower in our culture. But here is a woman who obviously was brilliant, or she would not have been an astronaut. And here are people who are professional people. And the triangle just proved emotionally too much. And it was caused by jealousy. The fourth thing that I want to mention is, to me, very toxic, is pessimism. It is easy to find fault with the world, and we certainly have a world filled with fault. It is easy to find fault with your neighbors and to be pessimistic about the future. Fault finding always ends up in pessimism. If you just go around looking for people's faults, you will soon be very pessimistic of human nature. And pessimism finally destroys the person who holds it. I have a lawyer friend in Houston. You ask him how he's doing, and inevitably he's going to tell you, terrible, just terrible. And that's always been his response. And he'll ask you how you are doing, and I always say, I'm doing better than that. But you know, what I noticed is over the years, actually, physically, and in all appearance, that constant telling people that you feel terrible has affected his physical appearance and affected him so that he is not doing as well as he could have been doing otherwise. The attitude of pessimism is often directed toward oneself. And that's what makes it so toxic. We don't like ourselves. And people who don't like themselves are very dangerous people. I have observed that the pessimistic Christian is one who believes that no one prays any more than he prays, or that gives as little as he gives, or works as little as he works in the church. The pessimist always imposes on other people his own shortcomings. How can we resist this attitude of pessimism? Well, if we think it is going to be cured because the world's going to be a better place and we will have less polarization in our world and in our society, we are not being very wise about it. I don't see a trend that says that's going to be changed. But Christians meet the pessimistic attitude by remembering the promises of God. In Romans chapter 8, verses 37 to 39, I have highlighted in my Bible this statement: who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, he writes, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced, and here's what we need to be convinced of, that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And if God loves us, then we can face life, whatever it brings. This promise keeps us from giving up. Even if discouraged momentarily, we can be refreshed with this promise and the pessimism is dissolved. We affirm the belief expressed powerfully by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 in verse 58. Therefore, my my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Now, isn't that a wonderful promise? Well, I said there, I'd been thinking about five toxic attitudes, and I want to mention the fifth. That fifth is resentment. Resentment. It is really a feeling of deep and bitter anger and ill will. It is a feeling of hostility when we feel resentment. And the person that we feel resentment toward can almost do nothing that would satisfy the resentment that we feel. Have you known somebody who just seems like that they have going through life filled with such deep resentment, so that even if others are doing well, that makes them unhappy? Resentful people cannot be happy when others are happy. We're taught as Christians to rejoice with those who rejoice and to weep with those who weep. We cannot rejoice with those who rejoice if we are filled with resentment. Resentment is anger. And going around as an angry person is one of the surest ways to destroy the happiness of your life and the happiness of others who are around you. The country singer Tim McGraw has a song about a man who is leaving his wife after 20 years of marriage and four children. And he is explaining in this song why he has to get away. And the man says in the song, "The reasons that I can't stay don't have a thing to do with being in love. And I understand that loving a man shouldn't have to be this rough. And you ain't the only one who feels like the world left you far behind." And then the refrain that is the title of the song, "I don't know why you gotta be angry all the time. I don't know why you gotta be angry all the time." I think we can learn a lot. This recurring theme, repeated five times in the song, "I don't know why you gotta be angry all the time," reminds me of what the writer of Proverbs said, "Better to live on a corner of the roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife. Better to live in a desert than with a quarrelsome and ill-tempered wife." Though the song applies and is directed of a man who is leaving his wife because finally he just couldn't take it anymore when she's so angry all the time, it applies equally to the other way. Sometimes men can be so angry that it becomes unbearable to be around them. Resentment leads to that kind of anger, just walking around as an angry person. So I wanted to talk about these four toxic or five toxic attitudes: the closed mind, pride, jealousy, bitterness, and the attitude that I just talked about of anger and resentment. Now, we can all come to a solution to those toxic attitudes by reading Philippians chapter 4, which I have mentioned and alluded to, of the things that we are to think about. And the things that we are to think about, we will become. That's one of the marvelous truths that we have discovered in our generation, that you can become what you think about. And so let's think about things that are lovely and things that are true and things that are the promises of God. He has said to every Christian, "I will not leave you, I will not forsake you." And we can say in response to that, "If that's true, what can man do to me? I can be victorious." And one of the phrases that the Apostle Paul uses in the book of Romans about the Christian life, he said, "We are more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us." More than conquerors. I hope that this next week, if you find yourself drifting into one of these toxic attitudes, that you will correct yourself and immediately think about something that's lovely and that's peaceful and that's attractive, and that let those thoughts capture your day. This morning we're going to sing an invitation hymn that's been announced. It's a time when someone might have a desire to confess their faith in Christ, to be baptized, or perhaps to have prayer together with this group. While we stand to sing, if we can assist you in any way, come to the front.